The Raj Quartet by Paul Scott. Episode 7, The Towers of Silence, dramatized by John Harvey. With Leah Williams as Sarah Layton, Geraldine James as Mildred Layton, and Marcia Warren as Barbie Batchelor.
It's all right, Bobby. You can come on in. I'm not asleep.
Oh, Mabel, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to disturb you.
Just come to check up on me. Make sure I haven't fallen asleep with the light on reading. As you do every evening. Do you think I don't know?
You must think me a great nuisance, always fussing round.
Not at all. I think you're very caring. And a great friend.
You're very kind, Mabel. Can I get you anything?
No, thank you, Bobby.
Very well, I'll let you try and get some sleep.
No, don't go. Not yet. I'm not at all sleepy. Why don't you stay and talk to me for a while?
What about?
I don't know. Anything. Come. Come and sit here. Why don't you tell me about when you were young? I always enjoy that.
Do you? I never realised. I was afraid it irritated you, Barbie, chattering on and on.
No, not at all.
It's strange, isn't it?
What's that?
When you ask me like that, it's as if I can never remember being young at all.
Oh, Barbie. You're younger than all of us. You always will be.
One thing I remember, sitting here like this, I was always a bit afraid of going upstairs to bed. So I sang a little song, one of which I fear Mother disapproved. Oh, Mr. Boulder, what shall I do?
One of your father's comic songs.
To go to Burr, yes. He took me off to crew. He was passionately fond of a music hall. He always promised to take me, but of course he never did. He was afraid of what my mother would say if she found out. And anyway, he was always short of what he called the ready. There was one Christmas. They were so poor. Here Mother set to and turned out drawers and cupboards looking for odds and ends so as not to disappoint me and find things for my stocking. That's what Mother told me years later when he was dead, and she told me there wasn't any Father Christmas anyway. But it showed that they loved me.
Of course they did.
I adored Christmas morning. Waking when it was still dark and wiggling my toes up and down to feel the weight of the stocking and listen to the rustle and the crackle. Then I'd sit up and sniff very cautiously to smell the magic. Even the quarrels in our house is a sort of dark magic.
Poor Barbie.
Oh, no. My life was never dull.
And now? Is it very dull now?
Now least of all.
I can sleep now, Barbie. Thank you.
Good night, Mabel. Oh, Mabel, aren't you awfully hot? There's not a bit of shade in this part of the garden.
No, it's all right. I like the sunshine.
But you mustn't overdo it.
Barbie, I do wish you wouldn't fuss so.
Mabel waits with Spartan fortitude for her life to run its course. Her days are spent in celebration of the natural cycle of seed, growth, flower, decay, seed. One day she said to me, "No flower is quite like another of the same species, but from the house, all one sees is a garden, which is all there is to it anyway in the long run." And I think perhaps that is the way she sees the world. Whereas Emerson says, the world exists for the education of each man, and all of life and history is to be explained from individual experience. He must not suffer himself to be bullied by kings and empires, but know that he is greater than all the geography and all the governments of the world. I wonder which of them is closer to a truth.
Mabel, I'm just off. I shall post my letter and take the cheques down to the bazaar and see that they're settled. Aziz has arranged for a tonga. I'll be back by 7. I promised Mr. Maybrick I'd help sort out the music for the church.
Well, where's Susan? Is she all right?
Yeah, she's on the veranda resting. She'll call Aziz if she wants anything.
Very well.
I'm back. I'm sorry I was a little longer than... Reverend Peplow, what are you... Mabel?
Barbie, no. No, 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 don't go inside. Not now.
Mabel?
It was very sudden. A stroke.
Oh, Mabel!
I think we must believe she felt no pain.
I should have been here. I should never have left her. It was stupid. It was wicked. It was only Susan.
Susan was tremendously brave. The poor girl was quite alone. She couldn't find Aziz anywhere. When she realised what had happened, she rang Colonel Beams and then her mother.
She should never have had to die alone. No one should ever have to die alone.
Clarissa and I want you to spend the night at the rectory. And she's making up a bed for
you. I have a bed here.
I know, but just for now, I think it's best you come with us. Clara, come straight away. Clarissa can lend you what you need.
It's very kind of you. But I must stay here. Mildred must take Susan home, of course, and look after her there. But I shall stay here. I said I will take heed to my ways that I offend not in my tongue. I will keep my mouth as it were with a bridle while the ungodly is in my sight. I held my tongue and spake nothing. I kept silence, yea, even from good words. But it was pain and grief to me. My heart was hot within me, and while I was thus musing, the fire kindled, and at the last I spake with my tongue. Lord, let me know mine end and the number of my days, that I may be certified how long I have to live.
Barbie? Oh. Are you doing, sitting in here with the blinds down?
Hello, Mildred.
You've no idea where that bloody man can have got to, I suppose.
Which man?
Aziz, of course.
I don't know. Although I think perhaps he had permission to visit a relative in one of the villages.
Oh, a sick relative, I suppose. One of us might have been born yesterday, Barbie, but it wasn't me. He found her, your precious Aziz, found her lying there, and he didn't have the guts to face up to it.
I don't think you understand, Mildred. I don't think you understand at all about Indians like Aziz. Oh,
I understand only too well. My God, I understand. He knew what I presume none of us knew, how ill she was. He knew, and he... bloody well funked it. Well, let's see how far he gets. I've asked Kevin Coley to have a word with the police.
The police? Whatever are you saying?
Well, there hasn't been time yet to check if anything's missing.
No. Oh.
And now, thanks to this whole business, Susan is starting. We have to get her to the hospital.
Is there anything I can do?
Well, since you've seen fit to refuse Clarissa Peplow's perfectly decent offer of a bed, the least you can do is stay where you are, out of the way.
Mildred!
I'm afraid with Susan, I've other things on my mind.
Oh, poor Susan.
Ambulance is here now.
Oh. Thank God for that. The sooner we get her to the hospital, the better.
Captain Coley?
Yes?
If Aziz should come back, you will treat him with the same courtesy he and Mabel always showed one another.
From what I can see, he's a coward and quite probably a thief as well.
I assure you, he is neither.
Kevin!
Well, do I have your word? The word of a British officer to an Englishwoman?
Kevin!
Coming!
Mummy, we can't have started.
Dear Helen, in his essay on love, Emerson wrote Romeo, if dead, should be cut up into little stars to make the heavens fine. And I ask you to do what I have done this evening. Go to the window, look at the night sky, and ask yourself this question. Are the heavens finer than they were? For myself, when I look up, I'm awestruck by that kind of immensity, unthinkable distances. Surely no prayer can cross them. And yet I must ask you to set aside the time to pray for the soul of my dear friend, Mabel. My own prayers are not guaranteed reception. I cried this afternoon and evening, just as I did when my own father died. But that was different. I felt he had died through some fault of mine, because I was plain and gawky and not clever in the ways a little girl is meant to be. Over the seams I sewed, for instance, my mother pursed her lips. And blacking my father's boots, I fumbled so badly his socks became smeared and he said, "Heavens, child." But the heavens were not open to receive me and shield me from his forgiveness. His funeral, as is the custom amongst the London poor, was more splendid than his life. So many flowers. Yet it is poor Mabel's funeral I must think of now.
Oh. Miss Batchelor, changed your mind about coming to stay?
No, but I knew I wouldn't sleep so much on my mind.
Of course.
I was wondering if Mildred had spoken to you about the arrangements.
Oh, for the funeral? Yes. I was so pleased she didn't insist upon cremation. So many people do nowadays. But no, a service at the church and then the interment directly after. She asked me to go ahead and select a site myself.
You don't mean perhaps... at the church here? St. John's?
Yes.
No, I'm afraid that's quite wrong. Mabel wished to be buried at St. Luke's.
St. Luke's?
Yes, St. Luke's in Rampur, beside her late husband, Mr. James Layton. She was quite clear.
Mrs. Layton said no such thing to me. She never mentioned it.
I should go and see Mildred now.
Miss Batchelor. Barbie.
Come in. There's a fresh glass on the dressing table, Kevin. Pour yourself one and freshen mine, will you? There's an angel. I'll be with you in a minute. Oh, I'm going balmy in this bloody place. I've been phoning Calcutta like mad to talk to Sarah, but there's nobody at Fenner's except some half-witted Bengali bearer. If it hadn't been for you, I swear I'd have lost my sanity altogether. What bloody hell are you doing here?
I'm sorry, Mildred, you said to come in.
Yes, but not to you.
Mildred, that doesn't matter. What I have to say, why I've come, it's about Mabel. There's obviously been some confusion.
What confusion?
About your promise to Mabel.
What bloody promise? What are you babbling about?
That she be buried at St. Luke's in Rampur.
What on earth are you talking about?
It's what she wished she told me. She must have told you.
I assure you, I know absolutely nothing about it. It's a ridiculous idea. It's quite out of the question.
Why? All you have to do is to ring Arthur Peplow and tell him it was Mabel's wish to be buried next to her second husband, your own father-in-law, in Rampur. I mean, what's ridiculous about that?
It's not only ridiculous, it's obscene. In case you hadn't noticed, it's the middle of June. It's warm. Quite apart from the question of the cost of ice, I have no intention of having my husband's stepmother transported like a piece of refrigerated meat to be buried in a churchyard that, so far as I recall, hasn't been used for burial since the 1920s. And I especially have no intention of doing so at the whim of a half-witted woman. I assure you, had Mabel's wishes been, as you say, they would have been expressed clearly in her will.
I know nothing about the will. I only
well,
know
I
that
do.
She...
Well, I do. I've had a copy of it ever since my husband went abroad. And there is no mention of the grubby little convoy you seem to think she envisaged, and which would be quite out of character. After 5 years of living on what one presumes were fairly intimate terms, I'm surprised you didn't know her better.
On the other hand, perhaps I'm not too surprised. You were born with the soul of a parlourmaid, and a parlourmaid is what you've remained. India has been very bad for you, and Rose Cottage has been a disaster. I imagine you're paid up either to the end of the month or the end of the quarter. This month comes to the same thing. I'll be glad if you'd be out of there before then, as quickly as possible,
in fact. Mildred!
Don't you dare call me Mildred again. I am Mrs. Layton.
That's ridiculous. That's spiteful. Mildred is your given name, your Christian name, given when you were baptised. I shall not call you anything else. I shall not.
You're stupid,
Mildred,
woman.
Please, it doesn't matter what you think of me.
Stupid bloody bitch, let go of my arms.
No, I am what you say. That doesn't matter, but I loved her so much. And she asked for so little, but she did ask for this. She did. I'm not making it up. Please. I'll do anything. Everything you say, but please, please don't bury her in the wrong grave. Oh.
Now, get out.
He's beautiful.
Sarah, do you really think so?
Of course.
But is he... is he whole?
What do you mean?
Is he all right?
Here. Hold him. You'll see.
No. Not yet.
Ma'am, sir, oh, let me help you.
Oh, Aziz, you've come back.
Yes, ma'am, sir, I have come back.
Oh, it's good, Aziz, to see you.
Thank you, Bobby, ma'am.
Oh, will you please give me your arm? I'm very tired. I think I'd better sit here for a while. Catch my breath.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh. Oh. Was this where you found her?
Yes, Bobby, ma'am.
How did she look? Did she look as if she were in any pain?
No, ma'am. No pain. She was at peace.
Thank you, Essie.
I'm sorry for the loss of your good friend.
Thank you, Aziz. But you were a friend too. I think I'd like to sit here for a while. Before I go to bed.
Then I will bring you a cup of tea. Huh.
How are you feeling today?
I don't know. Tired, exhausted. What else is there?
There's the baby.
Whenever they bring him near me, he cries.
I expect he's just getting used to you, that's all.
I feel such a fraud.
Whatever do you mean?
All the things I'm supposed to feel. When he's lying there and he isn't crying. It's just those eyes staring up at me. Wanting something. And I can't... I don't...
Come on. It'll be all right. You'll see.
Do you think so?
Yes, of course. There's news about Daddy. They think with any luck he might be home for Christmas.
Oh, how lovely if he were. Oh, for us, anyway. Might be a bit unfair on him, though. All he'll want is peace and quiet and looking after, and what he'll get is a screaming baby that gets all the attention.
Well, he won't mind. It's his grandson, after all.
Sarah, did you manage to see Captain Merrick?
Yes. The day I arrived.
How was he?
Waiting for an operation.
Was it serious?
Serious enough. They were going to have to remove his left arm above the elbow.
Did he agree to be godfather?
No. He said it was an honour to be asked, but no.
Because of his injuries, I expect. He thought it would be too much.
Yes. I expect that's what it was.
Susan's got around to choosing the baby's name at last, did she tell you?
Edward Arthur David Bingham. Sounds rather fine.
Hmm. All of Teddy's Christian names. On the whole, I approve. We'll have the christening party here. I want to get it over with before we move up to the cottage.
Are we moving to Rose Cottage?
Just as soon as that woman moves out.
You don't mean Barbie. You can't. Why would she ever want to move?
Because I told her to.
Thank you, Aziz.
Mim Sam.
Will you pour?
Of course.
How's Susan?
She's bringing the baby home tomorrow.
Oh.
To the bungalow. Mahmood's widowed niece, Minnie, is to look after him. I expect I'll help out for a while. What happened between you and Mother?
If she hasn't told you, I expect it means she'd prefer that you didn't know.
All she said was you'd had an idea Aunt Mabel wanted to be buried in Rampur.
Then that's all you need to know.
And that's all it was about?
That's all. I'm sorry for any annoyance I caused your mother. She had a great deal to attend to and I only had this one thing. How were your Aunt Fanny and Uncle Arthur?
Oh, very well, thank you.
You can't have seen much of Calcutta.
No, not much. A bit. I was taken dancing at the Grand, oh. And then to listen to some Indian musicians.
By Aunt Fanny and Uncle Arthur?
No, one of the officers. A sort of friend of theirs.
I'm glad you had a bit of fun.
When I saw Captain Merrick, he talked a bit about your friend Miss Crane.
Oh.
He was involved a little officially in what happened. Apparently there was a painting of Queen Victoria receiving tribute, rather fanciful by all accounts.
The jewel in her crown. I have a copy in my trunk.
I think he saw some connection between the painting and the reason Teddy was killed. I don't know what you've heard.
Only that he was trying to bring in some Indian soldiers who deserted.
Yes.
Like bringing stray sheep back into the fold.
Munbap.
I am your father and your mother.
Do you think that's what Teddy believed in?
I don't know.
Did Miss Crane?
Why do you ask?
I think Captain Merrick thought so. He talked about her sitting at the roadside, holding a dead Indian's hand. Was that Munbap, do you think?
No.
What was it?
Despair. Tell your mother I shall leave here the day after tomorrow. I expect you know Clarissa Peplow has kindly found me a room in the vicarage. Not a large room, I'm afraid. It's very small. But I shall manage.
What about your things?
Oh, well, you know, we'll squeeze in what we can.
If there's anything I can do...
There is one thing, perhaps. My trunk. Unlike one's clothes, one's shoes, or even one's writing table, I shall be unable to convince Clarissa that it is of use. But what is inside it is my history. And if it is my history, it is Mabel's and yours too.
I'll look after your trunk, Barbie. Don't worry.
Bless you. There is just one other thing. Mabel once told me she'd made provision for Aziz in his old age.
Yes, she did.
And it will be respected.
Yes. And she remembered you, too. A small annuity to help out with a pension. I expect you'll be hearing soon from the bank in Rampur.
She shouldn't have. There was no need, but it was kind. It was very kind. My mother, you know, she was always impressed by the word annuity. She thought it was a mark of true gentility. She would have been proud. My daughter, she would have said, they never concern herself about money because she has her annuity.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching.
Let us give thanks
that following the defeat of the Japanese attempt to invade India at Imphal, the last Japanese soldiers have at last been driven from Indian soil. And let us be thankful also for the news from France that the Allied offensive against the Germans is proceeding with God's blessing. Finally, let us give thanks for as much as it has pleased Almighty God with his goodness to give safe deliverance to our sister Susan Lake, and has preserved her in the great danger of childbirth. Let us give hearty thanks unto God and say, except the Lord build the house, their labor is but lost that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain.
I wonder, Helen, do you ever ask yourself what gifts our mission has brought to the children of India? And if amongst them has ever been the gift of love? After many years of believing I knew what love was, I now suspect I do not. Which means I do not know, and have never known, what God is either. Do you? I question my existence, my right to it. This is not, I trust, despair.
Oh, Bobby.
I'm sorry, I'm just...
Crying in a happy home is like untidiness in a neat one, a worry to God.
Yes, I'm sorry. It just all takes some getting used to, I suppose. But when all my things are here...
Surely this is more than enough already.
Oh, there are just a few more pairs of shoes.
I always try to keep in mind the fact that we bring nothing into this world and can certainly take nothing out. Ever since childhood, I have firmly rejected the tyranny of possessions.
Yes, Clarissa, I'm sorry. Is there something else, something wrong?
Yes. At least... there is something painful, I have to say.
Oh.
But it would place me in a totally false position if we went ahead with our arrangement here at the vicarage without my saying what I must.
What is it, Clarissa? Is it the amount of luggage? I could always leave
these... It is not the amount of luggage. It is, I was at the club earlier, after the service, and there were others. People whom I respect and whose good opinion I value. People whom you know, but whom I will not name. And they said... one of them said, what a pity it was that, after all these years, some way could not have been found of allowing you to remain at Rose Cottage to help Mildred, at least while she has Susan and the baby to look after. And somebody else said... someone else said that not only was that impractical, it would be most unsuitable. Most unsuitable.
I don't understand.
With two pretty young girls in the house.
With...
unsuitable with two young girls in the house. Of course, at first I didn't understand what was being implied, but when I did... well... if there were even the slightest thread of truth, my position, in private and in public, would be quite intolerable, as would Arthur's. You do understand?
No, I'm afraid I really don't
understand. If you are to stay here, under this roof, then for my own peace of mind, I must have your word.
What word? My word about
what? A word of refutation, of assurance. Assurance that there are no grounds... no grounds whatsoever for such a wicked implication.
Yes, I see. Naturally, you wish to be reassured. But what can I say? If it were true, I should almost certainly deny it, but it's a difficult thing for an elderly spinster to refute. For what it's worth, Clarissa, so far as I know, my affection for Sarah and Susan is not of an unnatural kind.
unless it is unnatural to feel maternally towards them, to take pleasure in their company and care what happens to them.
No. No, of course not. Thank you.
Is that all, Clarissa?
Oh, it was wicked. Wicked!
Ben, shall I bring the rest of my things tomorrow? As arranged?
Where's Susan?
She took the baby out into the garden.
At least she stirred herself out of her room for a change. I don't suppose you fancy a drink. I could call Mahmood.
No, thank you. It's far too early.
Well, you don't have to sound so disapproving. Besides, who's to say what's early? Or late, for that matter. Mahmood! Instead of sitting there disapproving, you could go and make sure your sister's all right with the baby. Minnie's off on some errand to the bazaar.
Oh, I'm sure she's fine.
I'm glad you think so. She nearly dropped him yesterday.
There. A good boy. You just lay there while Mummy makes a nice circle all around you. There. Like ring a ring of roses. Just another little minute and it will all be over.
Travis said the baby's fine.
And Susan?
He doesn't know about Susan.
What on earth possessed her?
Something to do with Teddy, perhaps. I don't know. Or the scorpion.
Scorpion? What are you talking about?
Nothing. Dream. Doesn't matter.
You'd better watch out or you'll end up as Delally as your sister. What's she doing now, anyway?
Smiling.
What?
Standing at the window and smiling.
Oh, good God.
I suppose the christening will have to be cancelled.
Over my dead body. The arrangements have been made and the arrangements will stand. Susan will get through it somehow. I just hope that bloody woman doesn't have the effrontery to turn up in the church, that's all.
You don't mean Barbie.
Don't I?
Oh! Barbie, I'm sorry, but she insisted. There was nothing else I could do. Take those... I won't repeat what she called them. Take those spoons and return them from whence they came.
She has no right.
No.
They were not for her. Not hers. Not hers to return.
I'm sorry, Barbie. I only hope that you will take the exceptional circumstances, all that's happened with Susan, into consideration and forgive her.
Blessed are the insulted of a shattered bomb, for they shall inherit the kingdom of heaven.
What did you say?
Forgive me. The circumstances are indeed exceptional. I am not myself. Mildred is not herself. Thou art not changed, and God is not mocked. How is Susan?
There is no news. She looks out of a window and smiles.
Smiles. Why, then she's happy.
Happy? How can she be happy when she's out of her mind?
Perhaps she's entered it. Perhaps that's why she's happy and why she smiles. Have you seen them, Clarissa? Solid silver. 12 identical spoons. Which one is Thomas, I wonder? This one, do you think? Thomas, who is said to have reached India and preached in Madras. Well, he gets short shrift today.
A simple, hard-working man smelling of sweat and fish? A man who worked with his hands? Wouldn't give tuppence for your chances here in Pankot, Thomas, if you ask permission to sit at the table and break your bread and drink your wine.
Dear Colonel Traherne, I'm sending today, via the adjutant, Captain Coley, a small gift of a dozen silver teaspoons, which I would like to present to the regiment for use in the officers' mess, in memory of the late Mrs. Mabel Layton. I hope this small gift will be acceptable to the regiment. Yours sincerely, Barbara Batchelor. There. Clarissa, I shall be gone a little while. Excuse me. Do you know if Captain Coley is on duty?
Yeah, try the mess, Mum.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Excuse me. I wonder if Captain Coley is inside.
No, Mum, I don't think he is. Anyone seen the adjutant recently?
Bet he's caught his mouse like. Oh, yeah. Catching a bit of kip, eh?
Oh, dear. How dreadfully inconvenient.
Oh, important, was it, then?
Yes, yes, very.
Well, not to worry, Mum. We'll have one of the drivers take you up to his quarters in a jiffy.
Oh, would you really?
You, Adjutant Saab Bungalow, sharpish.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's awfully good of you. I hope I haven't made you late for anything important.
No, ma'am, Saab. No, not at all.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Umbrella. Never mind. I'm Burlington Bertie. I rise at 10:30 and saunter along like a dove. I walk down the Strand with my gloves on my hand. Then I walk down again. Now, which of these bungalows is yours? Anstruther. Baines. Whitmarsh, Coley, go with Harry. Captain Coley? Captain Coley?
Is she, Dr. Travers?
Not well. Bronchopneumonia, if I'm not mistaken. And her heart's pretty weak into the bargain.
She'll be all right.
It's difficult to say. It's a risk moving her, but I think hospital is where she needs to be right now.
Yes, of course.
After a day or two, we'll know more.
And how's Susan, Doctor? Susan Layton.
Well, we've popped her back into the nursing home for a bit. There's a very good young psychiatrist attached to the military wing, Samuels. He'll be having a few little chats with her, that kind of thing.
Poor Mildred. She must be beside herself.
Yes. Her sister, Fenny, is it, has come up from Calcutta to lend a hand. They'll muddle through, I dare say.
Your mother's got a real bee in her bonnet about this missionary woman, hasn't she?
Barbie?
She's been going through Mabel's papers, checking her accounts and such like. Donations to charities. Indian charities, most of them. Seems to think this Barbie person put her up to it.
I don't think so.
Between you and me, neither do I. Mildred seems to have conveniently forgotten Mabel had a mind of her own. Always had. That dreadful business at Amritsar, for instance, before you were born.
What do you mean?
Well, it was never talked about at the time, least of all by Mildred. But when General Dyer was made to carry the can for what happened, and retired on half pay, we all chipped in for him. A big subscription fund. Everyone except Mabel. She dug in her heels and refused to give a thing. I found out later she sent money to the funds raised by the Indians for the widows and orphans of the people Dyer had shot.
Good for her.
You think so?
For sticking to what she believed in, yes.
How is she anyway, Barbie? Still in hospital?
Yes, but on the mend.
You know, it's not that I want to be scaremongering, but you look decidedly peaky yourself. Been overdoing it, I dare say.
Oh, I'm fine, Auntie, really. A little tired, perhaps.
Good. And the last thing we want is you in hospital, too.
I see. Yes, thank you. Sarah's fainted in the map room. As soon as she feels up to it, they're driving her home.
She really does need a good rest. Why don't you let me take her back to Calcutta with me? Now that Susan's getting the proper kind of treatment, Sarah could have a proper holiday.
She needs more than a holiday.
I don't understand. She could relax, have a good time.
She's already had a good time.
Millie, what are you saying?
I'm her mother, Femi, whatever else.
I still don't understand.
Don't you? One thing I've always done for Sarah, and perhaps it's the only thing, is make sure she's got plenty of sannies when she's due. Because, like me, she's as regular as clockwork, but has an absolutely ghastly time. She was due a week after she came back from her visit to you in Calcutta. I gave her a packet of sannies then. She was due again last week, and I gave her another.
Millie, what are you saying?
Are you completely stupid? According to the evidence in that chest of drawers, she's missed twice and hasn't told me. Perhaps she's told you.
Millie, I assure you...
Perhaps she felt she had to make you help her get in touch with whatever bloody man it was you so kindly introduced her to and get rid of the thing in Calcutta.
Really?
Is that it, Fenny? Is that what this cosy little trip's all about? To fix things up with some shady Calcutta doctor? Or pop her neatly into an expensive clinic as a Mrs. Smith requiring a D&C?
No, Millie, no!
Well, that's what you're going to have to do. Get the bloody thing aborted. My God, I could murder you! You have charge of her for just 24 stinking hours and she's in the bloody club.
Mildred, don't, please.
Oh, what a stupid woman you are. Asking me and Murat if it was wise to let her go riding in broad daylight with a young Cassim boy. And then you chuck her into the arms of some randy little English officer from God knows where. What was he? All strong white teeth and bloody prick. Did you fancy him yourself? Is that what it was? Oh. Is that what gave you a kick? Handing Sarah over to him so he could screw her silly?
Oh, Millie!
Well, now you'll take her to Calcutta and deal with it. Get rid of it. I don't want to know how or where or how much it costs. And if anything goes wrong, it's on your head, not mine. Because I can't stand any more. I can't and I won't. Now pull yourself together, for heaven's sake.
Oh, roses. Oh, how beautiful.
I bought them from the garden.
Oh.
I remembered the yellow were your favourite.
Thank you. You've been very good to me.
Nonsense,
coming Bobby. To visit me when no one else would.
It's been a frantic time, what with Susan and everything.
How is Susan?
Oh, getting better, I think.
Good.
She's been seeing a special doctor, a psychiatrist, Captain Samuels. He says she's coming on no end. Slowly, of course, but definitely improving. It's at his suggestion that Mother's going to close up Rose Cottage.
Close up?
Well, just temporarily. While she and Susan go down to Darjeeling. The baby too, of course. Captain Samuels thinks it may help Susan. A change of scene.
But not you. You'll still be here.
Actually, I'm going back with Aunt Fenny to Calcutta. Just for a while.
a holiday.
You're not ill.
No. Do I look ill?
No, you don't. Well, a little tired, but that's not surprising. I should be glad for you, shouldn't I? You like Calcutta, but... Sarah, I don't want you to go.
I know.
You were always very special to me.
Yes.
In any case, in a week or so, I should be on my travels too.
What do you mean?
I wrote to the director of mission schools to see if there were any vacancies. And he wrote back, thanking me for my letter and regretting there were no full-time positions, but saying that a teacher recently appointed in Dnipropetrovsk was getting married and had requested a month's leave. And he wondered if I would consider taking her place for that time. And so, of course, I said yes.
Oh, Barbie, I'm glad. If you're sure that's what you want to do.
You know, when I told my mother I wished to serve God in foreign missions, the missions to India, she was very shocked. Oh, Barbie, she said, not among the heathens. She made me feel my ambitions were wrong, almost sinful. Well, perhaps they were. Even after she was dead and I summoned the courage to apply, I felt I was doing something to be ashamed of. I huddled into myself. I made myself small. When I sailed for India, I thought, now I can be large again. That's not always been possible. Except, I think, sometimes when I was teaching, carrying God's word.
Oh, Barbie.
Oh, don't go. I'll never see you again.
Of course you will. I must go now, Barbie. There's millions of things.
Yes, of course. Yes, goodbye, Sarah.
Goodbye.
Ah, Barbie. There is some mystery about a trunk left at Rose Cottage.
There is no mystery, Clarissa. The trunk is mine. Is it required to be removed?
Captain Coley is keeping an eye on things now that Mildred is away.
Well, now that I'm going back into harness at Dnipropetrovsk, it can come with me. Please tell Captain Coley it will be collected tomorrow morning.
I beg your pardon. Would you please explain what you're doing here?
Oh, I'm sorry. My name's Ronald Merrick. I came to see the Leightons, but the Marley tells me they're in Darjeeling. I was just taking a look at the garden.
I'm afraid you're not seeing it quite at its best. It was a mass of roses.
It must have been beautiful.
Yes. Yes, it was. It's very beautiful. I think you knew my friend Edwina Crane.
I came to. A little, but not well.
Did she leave anything, I wonder? Anything that might explain why...
There was a letter. It was never read out at the inquest. But it satisfied the coroner as to her intentions, I mean.
And the police?
Yes, and the police.
What did it say?
I don't remember. Not in any detail, but it was a sane letter. I do remember thinking that.
But you can't remember her actual words.
At the end she said, "There is no God, not even on the road from Dnipropetrovsk."
There's something inside, in my trunk, that's what I've come to fetch, that I'd like you to see. I wonder, with your arm, you won't mind me noticing your arm, if nevertheless you might be able to help me a little.
Of course.
Thank you.
Careful.
Let's put it down here. This won't take a moment. You see?
Ah, yes. I remember this.
The jewel in her crown. I should like you to have it, Captain Merrick.
But why?
One should always share one's hopes. And that represents the ones that are unfulfilled. Not the pomp and the obeisance, we've had that in plenty. We've had everything in the picture, except what got left out.
And what was that?
I call it the unknown Indian. He isn't there. Now, if you could just help me again as far as the tonga.
Are you sure it won't be too heavy?
No.
The hill looks very steep.
Oh, dear. All it contains are my ears, and they're light enough.
Very well. How do you intend to get back yourself?
I shall ride in the front, of course.
I don't think that's such a good idea.
My sitting hip to hip with a smelly old native, you disapprove?
No, not that. The weight. The weight will be impossible.
Oh, I shall help to balance it. So, you see, we shall tip forward onto a splendid even keel. Au revoir, Captain Merrick. I'm sorry you missed the Laytons.
It's going to rain.
Oh, we shall be safely indoors before it does its worst.
Goodbye, Miss Batchelor. And take care.
My old man, sit below the van and don't dilly-dally on the way.
Eh, Jerez Pierre, I'll get it out.
Up with the van, with my home in it. I've fallen on with me old cock linnet and
I... Disparish me, Pierre, piss on something, eh?
Dally, dally, lock me away
and don't break me like thee. Come, Johnny! Come, Johnny!
Champagne, oh, bugger off. Bugger the Pope. Champagne, Charlie. What's the time? My father used to take me dancing when I was a child. Once he danced me all the way down Lucknow Road. Lucknow Road in Camberwell. Champagne Charlie. Suit yourself, suit yourself. The birds. Look at the birds.
Barbie. How are you?
He said he'd take me to the Empass in Mary Lloyd.
Barbie, don't you know who I am?
Do you live in Rampur?
No, in Pancott at Rose Cottage. You remember Rose Cottage?
There are vultures there.
I'm only here for 2 days.
Charles.
I'm going to meet my father in Bombay.
She was a beautiful girl.
Barbie?
I've nothing to give you. Not even a rose.
Barbie. I'll come and see you again.
Charlie.
I promise. When I can.
Say, Charlie, what's my name?
I'm afraid you'll see little change. She washes herself. She prays. She sings. She sits at the window looking out at the birds. They're feeding on the dead bodies of the Parsis below. There is one thing. Since you were here last, she has crossed off the calendar every day.
Barbie. Barbie. It's me, Sarah. I'm here. Look, you can put it on the calendar if you like. Shall I do it for you? August the 6th, 1945. Barbie.
I'm Burlington Bertie. I rise at 10:30. I'm not ill. You are not ill. She, he, or it is not ill. We're not ill. You're not ill. They are all well. All well. All's well that ends well. All's well that ends. Jillian can't find my way.
In The Towers of Silence, Episode 7 of The Raj Quartet by Paul Scott, Barbie Batchelor was played by Marsha Warren, Sarah Layton by Leah Williams, Mildred Layton by Geraldine James, Susan Layton by Alex Tregear, Ronald Merrick by Mark Baisley, and Fenny Grace by Selena Griffiths. Ian Masters played Reverend Peplow, Susan Jameson, Clarissa Peplow, and Stephen Hogan, Kenneth Coley. Other parts were played by Jason Chan, Robert Hasty, Rez Kempton, Stuart McLaughlin, and Ndidi Delfatti. Music was by Raymond Mirza. The Towers of Silence was dramatized by John Harvey, and the director was Jeremy Mortimer.
And tomorrow, with the war at an end, we'll find out whether the Layton family will be able to unite behind Susan's decision to remarry. The Raj Quartet continues with the first part of A Division of the Spoils tomorrow at the same time.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
It's 11, and in a moment we've two unusual fables from the master of the short story, Somerset Maugham. The Ant and the Grasshopper and Princess September. Then from T.E. Lawrence and the Great Pyramid at Giza to the Third Battle of Gaza. The war in 1917 is redrawing the Middle East in Tommy's at 11:15. And at midday, an hour of comedy kicks off with Ken Dodd, followed by the men from the Ministry. Somerset Maugham wrote more than 100 stories, at least 14 of which he burned on one of his bonfire nights after Winston Churchill warned that they contravened the Official Secrets Act. Tales of intrigue from far-flung colonial outposts and tales of passion from quintessentially British hearths. We'll hear some of them this week. And amongst his large collection of short stories, he wrote just a few fables. Here are two of them, one about misconceptions and the other about the dangers of vanity.